Well, good evening. My name is David Dixon. I'm not a true junior, but to differentiate between me and my father, people call me Junior or Davy, has been called this week. That's my name from when I was younger. You can call me whatever you like, just don't call me late for dinner. That's my one rule. Well, my testimony is going to be very similar to a lot here this evening. I was born into a Christian family. Both my parents loved the Lord, and both sets of my grandparents on both sides were believers and loved the Lord. And both sets of my great-grandparents on all the sides were believers, and they loved the Lord. So I come from a very godly heritage. I was tremendously blessed to be born into this family. A family that loved the Lord and put Him first in all things. I attended church from the time I was an infant. That being said, there's a verse that that scared me and that that I think applies to my situation, and that was it's in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, and the last part of the verse says, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required." And I was given a tremendous privilege of being born into this family. And I heard the gospel from a very young age. I attended this conference, and I remember it back when it was at the Church Bowl, and I was climbing on the rocks while guys like Jabe Nicholson and William McDonald were preaching. Being just because I was born into a Christian family didn't make me a Christian. Just like if you were born in a garage, that doesn't make you a car. That's not something that is passed down through the bloodline. Like I said earlier, I grew up going to Sunday school, to the Awana program, and I was learning gospel verses at a very young age. Some of the first words that I said were Bible verses, and that's something that I'm training my son as well. At the age of about 4 or 5 years old, is when I began to understand these verses that I was memorizing. Verses like Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And I was in there. I was part of that all. Well, as I kept growing, I knew that I was a sinner because I was born a sinner. I was a sinner because my father was a sinner, and he's a sinner because his father was a sinner, and we are all born sinners, and I can prove this. My parents never had to teach me to do the wrong thing. They had to constantly correct me and teach me to do the right thing and to obey their commands. By nature, I would sin. Now, what's the worst thing a 4 and 5 year old could do? Probably taking a cookie out of the cookie jar. Fighting with your brother and sister. But these things that we sometimes label as little sins were the very things that were going to keep me out of heaven. Another verse that I learned and that is familiar to most was Romans 6:23. And it says, "For the wages of sin is death," or "the payment of sin is death." And then there's a comma there. And my life was hanging on that comma. But the last part of the verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Even at the age of 4 or 5 years old, you look at some of the little ones running around and they're so innocent. But these little ones that don't know the Lord are on the same track that I was at 4 or 5, and that is to a lost eternity separated from our Lord. And this scared me. I knew that my parents were saved. I was told at a very young age, as we learned today, that the rapture is coming, that the Lord is coming soon. And I was scared to death as a young person, thinking that one day I could wake up and my parents would be gone. Oftentimes I had nightmares, and I would run into my parents' bedroom just to see if they were still there. And I was scared. I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew that I needed a Savior. At that point, I came to my dad and I asked him, in effect, What must I do to be saved? The same words that the Philippian jailer used. And he shared with me the same thought that the Philippian jailer shared, or that Paul and Silas shared with the Philippian jailer. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And at that point, I put my faith and trust in the finished work of what Christ did on the cross. And I knew that as he hung there, and as his blood was pouring out from his hands, his feet, and his side, that was paying for my sin. And I put my faith and trust in him. And then I went back into my room and prayed and thanked God for what he had done for me, for sending his son to die on the cross for my sins. Now, oftentimes we end testimonies there. But at that point, my testimony had just begun. At that point, I had entered the race. And from that point on, my faith grew more and more in the Lord. During elementary school and junior high school, it was fairly easy to maintain my testimony. I would surround myself with Christian friends. I would attend all the meetings at the assembly. And it was fairly easy to maintain that Christian testimony within school. But my faith would be severely challenged when I got to high school. I enjoyed playing sports, spending time with my friends, and anything that entertained me. Things that in and of themselves aren't bad. But these things became weights and eventually became sin in my life because they took the place of the Lord in my life. They became idols. I could say that God was prominent in my life, or that he was very important to me, but I could not say that he was preeminent in my life. I could also say that he was my savior, but that he wasn't my Lord. And I hadn't decided to completely follow Jesus. I enjoyed the salvation that he gave me, but I also enjoyed the time that I was here on earth and the just having fun and being with my friends. It wasn't until my senior year of high school that I decided that things that I was striving for were vanity. Sports, popularity, entertainment. It was all going to go away one day. And as we're going to learn tomorrow or tonight, that there's a reward that's waiting for us if we follow the Lord and if we do what he says. But the things that I was spending my time and money and effort on were things that were eventually going to perish and to pass away. Unfortunately, at this time in my life, during the high school years, my testimony was that similar to Azariah in 2 Kings 15. And I'm just going to read some of these verses. 2 Kings 15, verse 1. It says, in the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done, except that the high places were not removed and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. I had high places in my life. Places that I went to worship and spend time. Things like sports, things like friends. And I didn't remove those things. I would take the idol off the shelf for a time, but I would not tear down that high place, and I would continue to go back. And it wasn't until a couple of years later in my high school, or later after high school, that the Lord changed my mind, that he got a hold of me, that he gripped me, and he asked me, what are you living for? And who are you living for? And at that point, by the grace of God, my testimony changed in part to that of Hezekiah. In chapter 18, verse 3, it says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places, broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. Hezekiah destroyed the high places. He didn't just remove the idols, but he destroyed the places of worship. And I was challenged by this. things like movies, things like video games, things that would take hours and hours and hours away of my life and opportunities that I could be living for the Lord, I had to get rid of them. And I tore them down. And up until this point, it's still a refining process. And the Lord is faithful, and he's just to forgive. And every time that he brings up an area, an impurity in my life, he faithfully burns off the dross. And it's a refining process. And I can echo like what Paul says, I have not achieved it yet. But I thank the Lord for what he's done in my life thus far. And I just pray that this is an encouragement to you.